This podcast contains adult content and adult language. In no way does this reflect the opinions of other contributors of Good Morning Gloucester or Homecast. Your discretion is advised. Good morning, Gloucester. This is Alicia Unleashed on location at a very special location. We have B-Side.
What up?
And we have very special guests. We are at her house tonight. We have Miss Hannah Kimberly. Ms. Hannah Kimberly.
Hey, hey.
I wanted to call her Dr. K, but she says, don't call me doctor. So just Hannah Kimberly tonight.
We are at the Kimberly compound.
Yep,
here we are. The home of Craig and Hannah.
We are, and Craig's not here.
Nope.
He's in Florida, living it up with Joan, with Aunt Joan, going to spring break. The Red Sox, right?
Right, spring training.
Spring training for the Red Sox. And they do this every year, right?
Because their opener is next week.
Yeah, yep. So how many years in a row has Craig done this?
Since Joan's moved there, so for the past few years.
Yeah. Oh, it's just because she used to go down just that was her vacation.
Yeah, and then she was like, I'm moving here.
That's so funny.
I'm moving in with the Red Sox.
Yeah, she did.
She did.
And then she did. And Joan's badass.
And I bet you that's the best decision she's ever made, watching all these snow nor'easter weather reports up here.
It's like 80 degrees there now.
I do miss her house.
Yeah, and I miss Joan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's the last time she was up here?
In the summer. She comes in the summer.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's awesome.
So she does it right. Yeah. She does it like everyone else. She does it right.
Snowbird stuff. Mm-hmm. So before we get into why we have Hannah on, which unless you live under a rock, you have to know who Hannah is and what Hannah has been doing for the past year. In her world, it's been more than a year, but to the public eye, it's been about a year. So can't wait to get into that with you. So we're going to go on the hot plate. So Ward 2 meeting. So we have our new Ward 2 counselor. We don't talk about politics on here, but there are some things that we can touch upon, community happenings, if you will. So a Ward 2 meeting is a community happening that is coming up. Bridget, when is that? You're going.
I am.
Because you always have a lot to say.
It is next week. It's more or less like I don't want to die trying to cross Prospect Street, and I should not have to walk all the way down to Destino's or all the way down to Flanagan Square to cross the street without getting caught in jaywalking, which I know wouldn't exactly happen in our city, but yeah, I don't want to risk that anyway.
So Ken Hecht, our new Ward 2 counselor, has what he's doing is he's getting this meeting together to talk to the constituents of Ward 2 and what's happening in Ward 2 that we can talk about or help or change, anything like that. So, and I believe Ward 2, I always say this, not just because I live there, is that it's the most important ward. It really, ward encompasses the downtown, the fort, all the way around. I mean, the busiest part of the city
and
is Ward 2.
Also, if you're not in Ward 2, it impacts your Destino's parking.
Yeah.
That is April 3rd at 6 p.m. at the Friend Room at Sawyer Free Library.
And we were at the Friend Room.
We were at the Friend Room.
With Hannah Kimberly.
Do you know I live in Mayor Friend's house, by the way?
No.
Yeah, although I live on Friend Street.
Yeah.
Which is parallel to that. So I don't know why where you are is not Friend Street.
Because at one time it probably was all Friend Street.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I live in the house that the former Mayor Friend, who is the Friend Room, is named after.
And what a great name. Friend Street. So that's great.
My name is Friend. How cool is that?
That's pretty awesome.
It's a nice connection. See?
Especially if you're nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a
friendly
jerk,
neighbor.
It
yeah. No, no. No. And then we have Closet Case, which our very good friend Paul Catania has come on a couple of times, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he has Closet Cases April 15th at 9 p.m. Wallace.
No, it's 9 Wallace in
Beverly. 9 Wallace in Beverly.
Yeah.
Doors April 15th at 7:30 p.m. at 9 Wallace. That's, he did, is that where he did?
He did his New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve thing there, right?
Yeah, the oddball. Oh,
he's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing good a lot. He's doing a lot.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's doing really well with this, and I'm glad to see him. Because he's still paired up with, what's the other GMG people? Sound.
Oh my God. LCD. No. That's another.
You know what I'm saying, though, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that will come to me. But anyway,
I'll edit this.
He out. Actually did closet case on the New Year's Eve with them.
Oh yeah. I think they're.
And that was at 9 Wall. So I'm wondering if he's still pairing up with them doing stuff.
I think so. But
okay, it'll come to me.
Yeah, I know. Who but you're
they
talking
used
about.
To have a spot, or they still do on GMG. That's how they. That was one of their big, you know, they do, they post all the music that's happening, especially in the summer. All you have to do is go on GMG and go to Live Sound, not Live Sound.
Is it Vicky and Peter?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I don't know their name, though.
But, you know, but he, yeah. That's who he's been pairing up with, so, that's cool. So, and also in other news, without trying to get too political, this past weekend was March for Our Lives, and, that was happening all around the United States. All the rallies were happening, and as far as I know, they were very peaceful. The students did an amazing job. My daughter did participate. Her school went up in a bus, and they all went together and made signs and everything like that. So,
did they go to Boston?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they did the rally at the Commons.
Yeah.
I know that there was, they had started at, I think a school in Brookline, and then they had made their way over to the Commons for the rally at 2 p.m. So you were supposed to go, right, Hannah?
I was, but I had an accident. My back was messed up. Embarrassing accident.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, did you break your back taking a shit?
No, I did that. No.
Well, then you're a step ahead of me.
I was leaning into the dishwasher instead of pulling the dishwasher rack out.
Okay.
And then it just...
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Done it. But I went to the chiropractor today. Dr. Knight on Washington Street. And he fixed me right up.
Yeah. He's been there for a long time. Yeah. He is like one of the town's chiropractor. Yes, absolutely. So did you have any of your students go?
Yeah. Some of my students went. Some of them said they made it on the news. But then they weren't sure which news channel they made it on to. Which was typical of them. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm sure it was...
They had great posters and... Really proud of them for rallying. They had a walkout at our school, the Academy at Penguin Hall. So that was great.
Right.
Teachers were stoked about that. And it's just nice to see them being so active.
Right.
Really. And to have a voice. And they registered students to vote.
They were there?
Yeah, you can pre-register kids.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you could be 16 and pre-register to vote.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you're 17, I think on May 18th, you can pre-register to vote and be able to vote in the next election. I think that's the date. Mm-hmm. So, they're getting, you know, politically active in a way that I haven't seen necessarily before.
Right.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Right. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, they want to get, that's really smart to get pre-registered voters at things like this, because that is what they are. Yeah, I really feel that that's going to change a course of action in our history, especially with that happening. And I think hopefully, not to talk about politics too much, but, you know, our political future looks brighter.
Right.
You know, might take us. Few years to get there once these children have grown up. You know, till then, I guess we're not going to be doing so hot. But that, I think that's, you know, I feel confident about the future.
Sure. Yeah. And I teach at an all-girls school. So it's grades 9 through 12. And it's interesting because we're getting ready to come up on the 100th anniversary of women's right to vote, women getting the vote.
Oh, wow.
So yep. 2020 will be that 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. And it is interesting.
You know, which just so happens to be the next presidential election.
Yes, and not, so, you know.
It's going to be a pretty, and, you know, just alone it being 2020, it's going to be a pretty interesting
It'll
year.
It'll be very interesting.
I'm hoping the steam and the passion that's happening right now stays this strong.
Yeah, right, you're seeing a lot of women run for office.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right, right.
We only have 20%, less than 20% representation in Congress. Right. And we're 50% of the population.
Right.
And we make all the other fuckers.
This is true.
So, I mean, let's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the ironic part.
Yeah, right?
Isn't that ironic?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, man. So, all right. Awesome. So, yeah. So, the march, I really feel that these, you know, we'll start seeing these more and more, you know, as things happen and, you know, the unfortunate things, actually, you know, there's always something positive that come out of these negative situations, but I think this is incredibly positive. So, Bridget, you wrote this down, donorschoose.org. It's a fundraising site for teachers.
It is.
So what is this?
So donorschoose.org is a site where teachers can go and do crowdsourcing, where if, like, they need a rug for playtime, like kindergarten teachers need, like, $50 to pay for ample amounts of Play-Doh and stuff like that. So anyone that is interested in helping teachers, because let's face it, in the last few months, the teachers have been struggling. They've, not to be political, but teachers have come up against a lot of arguments, and it's like, wait, you want me to do this and pay for your kids' colored pencils? So this is just a site that I've heard through a radio station that I listen to that's been helping out teachers, and it's as simple as $50. Just $50 to do some kind of project, you know? So it's, you know, as we focus on teachers, because, you know, as Hannah is an educator as well, you know, it's a nice site for anyone that is interested to go and check it out.
Do you get to choose who you want to, what
you get
school,
to go and look,
or how, did, how
you get to
work?
Go and look at, so any teacher that's out there that might be listening that has some stuff that's coming up and is, cannot get the funding or doesn't have the income themselves to fund this can post on there. And general public can look at all of these things and be like, you need $25 to pay for a rug? I'm in. And you can, and people, you can even put in a certain amount, but other people will come along and complete that goal if needed and stuff like that.
So have you heard about anything like this, Anna?
No. Back when I started teaching, my first year teaching was 1996 in the public school system out in New Mexico. And, one of the women in my building, who had been a teacher for many years, she was a former nun. Her name was Marge Lux. Isn't that a great name?
Yeah.
And we didn't have anything for my classroom, and she's like, I'm taking you out. We went to garage sales, and being a former nun, she was a nun, I think, for 27 years, she just rocked up to the people at the garage sale and was like, this young woman is beginning her first year teaching, and she has nothing. What do you have to donate? I got a couch. I got so many classroom supplies, books, you know. She just basically guilted them into it. It was great. And she was really good at it. She's like, she is helping the future, your future, future of our nation.
Right.
You should give her stuff now for her classroom.
And they did.
So, yeah. This is well before go online and donate to people.
Right, right.
She did it in person. Marge Lux did.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's great. So we'll put this website up there and everyone can see how it works.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. So crazy news today all around Gloucester, blowing up
at 10:49 p.m. last night.
Everyone's
news
Facebook.
Broke.
I don't even know if Mr. E knows about this. Friendly's is closed.
Oh, yeah.
They just shut it down. All done.
The signs are gone.
Everything's done.
Even the signs on the building are gone.
Where are children going to go that they can drop their french fries on the floor?
Listen,
I can guarantee you Papa Gino's is going to become very popular now.
There's been a lot of arguments where people are like, Maria's and Destino's is great for children too. I'm like,
no,
where do you go find parking?
No.
There's 5 spots for Maria's. I love Maria's pizza, but I don't want... Friendly's was the best part for children that are unruly to go and yell and scream, and I would go to other places. That's true. What Friendly's is true for. Story.
But Papa Gino's is that way as well. Like, Friendly's is more of like, drop off your kid. You know, I let Tyler go for the first time with his friends literally just a couple weeks ago. That was close. But Papa Gino's is another one, is another good one. But other than that, I really don't know of...
There's not many like, places where
page... Well, Friendly's like, is geared towards children.
Right, but there's not that many places where middle school kids can right. just go hang out where the owners or the wait staff are going to tolerate.
Right.
Just, what happened to Friendly's?
They sold it.
Just, the franchise.
The whole franchise.
Well, the franchise overall has been closing down throughout Massachusetts stuff. But this particular one was sold and... The employees didn't know, and I have a family member who was an employee as of yesterday.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just like, don't come to work tomorrow. And there's a sign. And the signs are all gone now. Like, legit, when I left this morning, there were signs that said Friendly's, and now it says nothing. It actually looks like they've already started removing, like, everything inside that little alleyway when you walk in. I used to work at Friendly's, you know, probably like 8 different owners ago. So
what's going to go there now? That's the big question.
Well, that's the whole thing on Facebook. That's conversation the whole thing now. Right now. What is going to go there?
Probably another pizza sub shop.
Well, whoever takes over that space should be smart about it and to do a kid-friendly thing like Friendly's where you can drop off your middle school. They need something like that, so... Whoever does take over that space and is smart enough...
It may not
enough.
Even become a restaurant. There is conversation about it being another welcome center. So as you're coming into the city. Which is smart because...
That would make sense because the welcome center at Stageport it's not really convenient.
And also you have to pay parking fees to go to the welcome center to know what's going on
in town.
That
makes sense.
Yeah. That'd be great.
It does. It makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's our hot plate for tonight.
That is your hot plate.
So we're going to get right into...
Hannah.
Miss Hannah. So, I hear you wrote a book.
I did. I did. And y'all read it.
We did.
I'm really flattered.
So, it's awesome. So, what's it called?
A Woman's Place is at the Top.
Obviously.
Of course.
Because that's where it is.
That makes total sense.
It does.
It's a biography of a woman named Annie Smith Peck, mm-hmm. who was a suffragist and a mountain climber from the turn of the century, and who sort of participated in politics before women had the right to vote.
Right.
Who participated in international relations between North and South America before, you know, anyone ever thought to appoint a woman as a diplomat. And she really was just sort of ahead of her time in a lot of ways.
Yes. Yes, very much so. So what's your inspiration for this book?
So my dad bought me a poster at an antique shop with her image on it.
And how old were you when he did this?
It was only in like 2008.
So recently. Yeah. Okay.
So, and then I realized no one had written anything about her.
So now you're intrigued.
And yeah. And I was doing my... PhD at the time, and I needed to write my dissertation, and I thought, maybe I'll see who she is. Like, who is this woman? Because she looks so cool in the poster. You know, she's wearing her climbing outfit, and the poster said a woman's place is at the top, and it said she was a suffragist and a scholar and an author and a mountain climber. You know, you can't really turn away from that.
Right.
So, yeah. And then... I write a lot of stories about her in my dissertation, which didn't fit. And my advisor would say, you know, get this out of here. And I just started sort of saving these stories and thought, you know, one day I'll write a book. Because what she really wanted was to have a biography written about her. And no one had ever accomplished that. And she'd had like 2 biographers before me. And for various reasons, neither one of them came about. So I thought 3 times must be a charm.
Do you think it was a sign, in a sense, that your dad had this post, like, bought this poster for you, and you just happened to be the person that was like, she's got no stories about her? And
yeah.
Do you kind of think like that? Maybe. I don't usually think about that kind of stuff, but I feel like, you know, it all fits. It all has a spot in a place.
You're right. It does. It's interesting. Her first biographer, who she hired, actually, and left all of her stuff to, he was a quirky character, but unfortunately he ended up not being able to garner interest for the book and ended up eventually committing suicide, which is really sad. And then her second biographer, second person who took up the idea of writing her biography, ended up in a horrible car accident and then died from complications of that. So then I came along in the 2000s, years later, because the first one started in 1935.
Wow. So obviously at one point you were intrigued, but then you were intrigued, but then you couldn't find something, but then was it like a treasure hunt?
It was a total treasure hunt.
Was the treasure hunt? I couldn't find this, but I found this. Now I'm intrigued, but I'm going to... How did that process happen?
That's exactly how it went. So there wasn't anything on her online at the time. So there's like no Wikipedia page or biography page or anything like that. And I contacted this one professor at Rhode Island College. And he said, oh, go check out this book. And it was a coffee table book written by this woman, Milbury Polk was her name. And she had two pages in it. It was like a book of women explorers. There were two pages about Annie. And then I started to do more and more research, and I found this old sort of audio file, like an MP3 file, of her doing an interview.
Wow.
And she said, there's stuff at Brooklyn College, which was not online when I was searching. So I looked at Brooklyn College and like, oh yeah, we have 17 cubic feet of her material.
Wow.
That you can look through. So I went to Brooklyn College and thought, you know, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Because Annie Peck kept everything.
It had to have been somewhere.
Right. She would write letters to people.
That was my favorite part, is that she was like, oh, you need to send this letter back to me.
Because
she knew at some point someone was going to write about it. And she did all these things. No, like, someone's going to write about me. Like, I'm doing this, all this, so that someone writes about me.
Yeah, from a young age.
Yeah.
Too, which is wild. So so I found that, and then I found someone who was selling her stuff off on eBay.
You had to search for that, right?
I was looking at eBay for stuff that might come up, and there was a guy there, John Valentino, and so I wrote to him and was like, what are you doing? This is so wrong. You can't be selling off someone's stuff. I promised this woman I would write her story, and, you know, he was like, okay. And then Craig came home, and Craig said, did you send that email off? Because I sort of, in my mind, I had bitched him out, saying, you can't sell someone's stuff off. This is women's history, blah, 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 X, Y, Z. I promised to write this story. And Craig was like, did you just tell someone on eBay that you talk to dead people? Like, do you think he's going to write you back? But I saw him just the other month, actually, and I said, do you remember that? He said, yeah, but I didn't take it that way.
Really? So did he sell you the stuff or give you the stuff?
He took it off eBay. And I said, you have to keep this stuff. And eventually he handed it all over to me.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. He's a great guy. His family's really lovely. So it ended up that Annie's first biographer had left her stuff in his family's basement.
Okay.
And probably in like a steamer trunk or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Oh, that's nice. Exactly what it was in. It was in steamer trunks. And eventually his dad was like, it's time for you to clean out the basement or whatever. So he's like, okay, you know, I'll put it on eBay with the car parts that we also have in the...
Right.
Was your aha moment that I need to write about her and she needs her story told? When was that moment? When did that click and that was it?
I think when I realized that that's what she wanted. Like, she had hired someone to do it and they ended up not doing it. And then I realized how sort of amazing she was.
How did you come about finding out the story of her two other biographers? Without, like, there not being that much research, but how did you kind of get around, like, inquire that all of a sudden you found out that there were two other biographers beforehand?
Through letters, through all the stuff that she left behind, because her first biographer also left his stuff behind.
Oh, wow.
So right. There's like rejection letters from different publishers that say, no, we're not interested in doing a biography of her.
Wow.
That are to him, the first biographer. And so you just sort of piece all these things, you know, together. It's a lot of reading.
Right.
A lot of...
And you went to Brooklyn College to do that, and you traveled, and then you stalked people on eBay.
Exactly.
So then, you do. So then, did you go to a publisher, or did someone seek you out, or how did that happen?
I found an agent whose name is Don Fair at Trident Media in New York City. And then he found the publisher for me. That's sort of what agents do. They just, you know, they're sort of, I don't know. He's pretty amazing. So then he found St. Martin's Press and my publisher, who is Daniel Arap. And she's also amazing.
Yeah. And that just kind of...
put us all together, yeah.
And then they said, you need to write a book, and here's your deadline. And they gave you one chapter at a time, couple chapters? Or what did that process look like?
I had 18 months to write the book.
That's, but I mean, you know, it's you had 18 months, which in my mind still does not seem like a lot of time. It's only a year and a half to put together a whole life story.
Right. But you based had off been, of stuff that could have been on eBay.
True.
Did you have like a big whiteboard, kind of like police detectives, where you're piecing all the timelines and stuff? Because I'm sure everything didn't come like year by year.
No, it certainly didn't. Certainly didn't. Over there in the office, right over there. Yeah, I would just put these giant index cards, like this scene, this scene, this scene. You have to put all these things in there for each chapter. But it took me a year to write the first chapter because I was so sort of nervous and freaked out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the rest came.
In 6 months.
Yeah. Just, it worked.
So did you have writer's block for a year?
I think I had sort of like imposter syndrome. Like, I'm not really a writer, and I don't know why they think I'm a writer. And, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. But then I, all of a sudden, it was like, fine. Yes, you are. This is okay.
It's like, how do you start the opening line and the opening chapter to this incredible story? And you're like, I don't want to start off the wrong way and not get the right story in there first. Because, you know, it's kind of like movies, too. If that cold opener, if you don't get that right, it's like, what the fuck's happening?
Exactly.
What's happening?
Yeah. What? And when it's a person and you know them so well, I mean, I know Craig really well.
Could you write a book about Craig?
Right.
But I haven't read all of Craig's emails and letters and text messages that he's ever sent to anyone and everyone.
Right.
Even, you know?
Right.
And with Annie, I have.
Right, which is crazy, right?
Right.
To be able to learn that much about somebody.
Yeah. And so then that's like a big responsibility to sort of try to get it right.
Right.
Not fall so in love with her because she was human. And to recognize her faults, which we all have.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to put those down.
Right. So it published and it came out August 1st, just a few days before our birthday last year.
August 4th is our birthday.
We are birthday buddies. So, you know, you had a reading at the Friend Room.
Okay.
Soy Free. And that was amazing, and it was fun, but it didn't stop there. Your life has been one huge whirlwind since then. You've been on Chronicle. You're hit top in the Amazon book list, right?
Well, for mountain climbing.
You were on there with other women, you know.
It was the top 10 feminist books for 2018.
Yeah, just that. You're on NPR.
Yeah, that was fun.
What else have you done?
Just different talks, really.
Did you do a book tour?
Also, didn't Senator Warren, like, you know, didn't you?
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did.
I have a total crush on Senator Warren.
What did you do there? Did you introduce her? Did you talk to her? Or what happened?
I gave her my book, which was great. And that was Safathia, our mayor. absolutely arranged that, which was a beautiful thing. Well, but I just said, you know, this is a book about a woman who was always told no, and still, you know, she persevered. Right. She persisted, like you. And, yeah, I'm a fan of Elizabeth Warren's.
So did you end up doing any type of book tour at all?
Not really a book tour, but, you know, I've done a lot of talks, I guess, locally around Massachusetts. And that's still going on, which has been great.
So are people contacting you, or are you contacting them? Like, no, where are you now?
Which is nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
And then I'll just go out and give a talk.
And what do you you just talk about the book? You talk about, Q&A.
Yeah, Annie's life, and then a Q&A afterwards.
Didn't you also go back to Brooklyn College after the book was published?
I did, yeah, in February. I went and gave a talk at Brooklyn College, which was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And started research for my next book.
What's that? Is that is that top secret?
No pun intended.
Not overly secret, but it's about another woman who was sort of relegated to, you know, the footnotes of history that no one's ever heard of. Another woman that no one's ever heard of, but who did great things.
And she was badass.
And she was a badass and a really funny character and humorous personality and very clever. And did it all in high top tennis shoes. And jeans in the 40s and 50s. So yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So it's like 50 years later than Annie.
Right.
She was born 50 years later.
Did this person fall into your lap? Or did you start thinking, who do I write about now?
So that first book that I looked at, the coffee table book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The woman who wrote it, she called me or contacted me, and then we chatted. And she said, you know, are you going to keep recovering these women?
Wow.
Yeah.
Hello? I know. That's pretty insane.
It's pretty wild.
I love how you just, like, talk about it, like, nonchalantly. But
it was great. And then I admire this woman. She's really good. And Milbury Polk is her name. She said, you know, you're going to keep doing this. And I said, you don't get an archive thrown into your lap every day.
Right.
And she said, I've got another woman for you. And she does. So that's what I'm working on now. But there's live people involved, which is really interesting. So I'm used to just dealing with people who have passed away and their letters.
Well, so the woman that you're writing about was living?
She's not living. She died in 1998 versus 1935.
But still, she would have been.
But there are people around who.
Okay.
Right. So that's been an interesting process so far. So that's started in the last few months.
And is there a deadline for this book, or is this something that you're just doing on your own?
I'm just starting the sort of preliminary research on it. So I went and interviewed Milbury in February, and then I'm going to do some more interviews on spring break in April. So coming up in a couple weeks.
Wow.
So it should be interesting. It's going to be a wild ride. I already know this.
Right.
Probably wilder than my Annie Peck ride. Yeah.
So do your students know about your book? Have they bought it? Have you talked about it? Has there been any talks of you being able to teach around the book or anything like that?
Yeah. So I think right when school began, I had to do an interview, an NPR interview. So I asked my administrator, like, can someone watch my class? Because I've got to get on the phone and do an interview on the radio.
You know, no big deal.
I'm going to talk to NPR. No big thing.
And he's like, maybe your class should listen. I don't know about all that. And he goes, maybe the whole school should listen. I'm like, I just got here. I don't know about that.
But they did.
They all listened. It was great. And I gave them a shout out. And the interviewer was like, now you're teaching in an all-girls school, the Academy of Penguin Hall. It was really cool.
Wow.
And then when I walked upstairs, they all clapped, which was adorable.
Aww. Nice.
So they do know, and they're very supportive. And they want me to write a young reader's version, which is I also have in the works.
Wow.
It's cool.
Geared towards what?
Eighth grade up.
So it'd be a young reader's version of Annie's story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
So I already have written some of it and tested it out on an seventh, eighth grade class in Salem Public Schools. My friend Sue Brown teaches at Saltonstall. Mm-hmm. And she tested out on some of her kids last year. Wow. And they seem to like it. So,
do you have anyone that's approached you that kind of didn't really understand? Like, you know, there's a lot of people don't understand the struggles, you know, that women had even in the 70s, never mind back in the 30s, and be like, how did this happen? How do they just allow this? Has anyone come to you and been like, how did you, like, did you lose your mind? Be like, what the hell? Like, why?
It's interesting. I mean, I think women have come a long way, and in a lot of ways they haven't. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So Annie fought to work in politics. You know, there's great news articles of people. She, you know, gave rousing speeches for people like Woodrow Wilson, who was running for president at the time, hired by his campaign, and climbed mountains that no women, much less men, had climbed before. And there are these articles of her at the time that talk about her outfit, what she was wearing, what she wore to climb the mountain, because it wasn't a skirt. She wore pants, which was scandalous. What she wore to give the political speech. We expected her in pants. She was in a beautiful dress. And we see this. We saw this with Hillary Clinton in her pantsuits.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We see this all the time still with women. We don't talk about men in terms of what they're wearing.
Right.
And we still do with women.
Right.
And we still ask women what would happen if they, you know, run for office and they have children. But we don't ask men, what are you going to do with your children when you're the president?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Exactly. So it hasn't changed that much.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So we've come a long way in some aspects and we haven't gone that far.
You're right.
In some ways.
Yeah. That's perfect, because when a lot of people say, you know, we haven't come a long way, and other people will argue with you, you know, well, what do you mean? Well, that's a perfect, absolutely perfect example of that.
Right. And I mean, my students, I always say, when did white women get the right to vote? You know, that's 1920.
Right.
But black women is 40, 50 years after that.
Right.
And we have to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's not very far away from right now.
No, it's not. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So, so you put an intersectional bent on it. We haven't come that far.
Right.
In a lot of aspects. So the idea is for us and our younger generations to keep pushing.
And keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Which I think our younger generations are starting to now catch up and clue in. Stuff like that.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
To hear my teenage girls talk the way that they do.
Right.
And march the way that they do and think the way that they do.
Right.
It gives me great hope for the future. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the takeaways that you want readers to take from this, from your book?
I think, well, Annie was always told no, that she couldn't do what she wanted to do in terms of politics, in terms of authorship, scholarship, and mountain climbing. And she always said, you know, no, I'll do it anyway. And I think that goes for all of us.
Right.
You know, when we're slammed with a no, you just pick right up and do it anyway, regardless of your gender, or your age or anything else. You just keep going. And I think young people are doing that more and more.
So what do you think Annie Peck is saying right now about your accomplished efforts? Not even efforts, are accomplished.
Oh, thank you. But I think she would be pleased that her story is finally out.
Yes, yes.
You know, she'd probably have some criticisms about some of the things that I said, which, fair enough.
Right,
she was a very persnickety personality, Annie Peck was. So, but I think she'd be pleased, definitely.
What do you think, if Annie was alive today, or, you know, what do you think she would think of the current climate right now?
I think she'd be outraged.
Yeah.
Absolutely outraged. Outraged that women have not come as far as she envisioned.
Right, right.
Them coming.
Yeah.
Outraged at how women are still spoken about in the political climate. And I think she'd be right there marching at the front lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah.
She'd be like, I climb motherfucking mountains.
Yeah.
I climb mountains without any safety nets.
That's right.
And pants on.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she also, too, like, you know, reading the story, when she was told, no, you can't do that, she didn't just go right back on that path. She's like, all right, how do I go around this?
Yeah.
How do I, you're not going to give me this boat. All right, I got to find another boat. And she went around and did that kind of stuff too. So not only did she try that same roadblock, she was like, how do I blow up this roadblock?
Exactly.
How do I get the helicopter to get around this roadblock? Right. I'm just going to do it.
And she did. And yeah. She climbed at a time when there were no Gore-Tex, no, you know, crampons, no sunscreen wasn't invented, certainly no oxygen, no satellite telephones.
Right. She just went, camelbacks.
Right. She just went and did it anyway.
Right.
So it was hard climbing.
Right.
And I see these climbers now, especially women climbers, and I think, wow, you know, they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
But they also have crampons. And it's a bit of a difference.
Right.
You know? But they're so impressive nonetheless. So
do we see an audiobook in your future as well?
That's just because Bridget likes to hear me read.
I do.
Well, you have a great voice.
I know. I think someone like has to... I don't know how that works in the publishing industry. I think
if you have a great voice, I would think that when you read
listen,
it yourself...
I just listened to a book with Will Wheaton audiobooking. So,
oh, Lord.
I also binge listened to the Harry Potter series in the last 2 months.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So this is the first day I haven't heard an audiobook in 2.5 months. And I'm like, what do I do with my life? There's all the podcasts I've been avoiding because I've been listening to these audiobooks.
You need Hannah's audio.
I do, and I've told her this too because when you did the reading, you just had just amazing diction and delivery in that one chapter that you read. I'm like, she could read the phone book to me. I'll be fine. Do they still have phone books? Because I'm in.
Like, yeah, it's very
kind of you.
You know, but I feel like, you know, for someone that may, you know, because books are tough nowadays. And with audiobooks, you know, granted, it's a technological thing. But I think just hearing that story, some people, I've talked to a bunch of friends that, they read books and they didn't know that certain words were certain words. Like, right. They didn't know that, like, they thought capsule was capsule. And it's like, until you hear that word out loud, right. You never know, you know. But yes, that was my question. I did ask if you were going to do an audio book. That would be me.
I don't know that that's going to happen, Bridget, but I will read to you anytime you want.
Yay!
Awesome. So for your first book, you got the title inspired from this poster that you saw. And by the way, did you know who made that poster? Did you ever find that out?
Yeah, a woman named Lucy Pico Simpson made that poster.
Was her name on there?
No, her name wasn't on there, but I did research and...
Yeah, how in the God's name did you find that?
I know, she was so cool. I don't remember actually how I found out it was her, but it was her and she did a series of posters for ending sexism in the schools.
Wow.
And so there's like 91 posters that she made. I have them all. And one of them was Annie Peck. She did a women's, you know, history set of posters. And she was really cool. And a lot of those posters ended up in a basement in the women's studies department at the University of Maine. And they sent me a set of them, which is really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And Lucy Pico Simpson has passed away, but her artwork and her intelligence and activism lives on in those posters.
So are you considered the world's expert on Annie Peck Smith?
Yes.
That's like a real thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
So does she have a Wikipedia page now?
She does. I did some editing to it.
Did you created it?
I didn't create it. It was created before I did some editing to it, which was really interesting. I think
Wait, do you own that page?
No.
No?
Public. It's public format.
Okay.
Someone can write anything on there.
But she did have something on her.
She did.
Okay.
I don't think I started but the now Wikipedia you're, page. No.
But you're considered the world's expert.
Yeah. Her. Yeah. My yeah. hand no is big deal. On the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, no big deal.
Certainly. Yeah. One time someone, I was talking about her and some, I won't mention their name, but someone was like, started to mansplain to me about Annie Smith Peck. And then actually pulled her up on the internet, like on the Wikipedia page.
What, that you wrote?
And like started to tell me about her. And I was like, stop yeah, it. Just maybe go down to the reference part. And there was my name. It was really funny.
Stop it.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it was
yeah, really funny. Kind of an expert. Kind of a big you're kind of a big deal.
Thanks for trying to tell me about Annie Smith Peck. I really appreciate it. It was really funny.
Kind of a big deal. So that was your inspiration for the name of your first book. You probably are not going to tell us, or you don't have that title yet, but do you have a title of your second book?
Do you have a working title?
I don't have a working title. I think it might have the word apprentice in it.
So is this something that you probably get inspiration
shaman, maybe
as you're researching and learn more and get more that will kind of
yeah get, it's about a pioneering ethnobotanist who is also in South America who was just yeah another amazing woman had a much better sense of humor than
well, she was pretty hilarious, unless you she was made funny. Her hilarious.
No, she was funny in her sort of dry way.
Which I love. I love a dry sense right. of humor. So I totally got it, and I just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah,
so
super smart. Super so, smart sense you know, of humor. This next woman is just really funny. She'll have you cracking up. Can't She's wait. A good time.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good time.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. Is there anything else that you want the world to know that they don't already know about you and your ventures?
No, just they can get A Woman's Place is at the top at their local bookstore or on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Target or Walmart or wherever. Wow. It's out there.
Wow.
It's all those so it's places.
Not, you're everywhere. You're not just on
Are you Amazon, an REI?
It's not an REI.
Ooh, let's work on that.
We should work on that.
Twitter campaign. I feel one coming.
Okay. Do it up. Do it up, girls.
I feel like also we need to like somehow, because I remember when your book first came out and I got it through Amazon. Sorry.
I got mine downtown.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to deal store. With parking. And that's
the that. Bookstore of Gloucester has been fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To me. They've helped me so much.
Yeah. But I think I took a picture of it and I think I might have tagged Amy Poehler's Smart Girls in it or hashtagged it as well.
Very cool.
I'm going to work on that campaign too.
Do there it up. Go. Absolutely.
Yes. Awesome.
She could make a something.
Yeah. She's, well, I mean, because I mean, seven. There's, I think I've seen on that site, there was a children's book of women, unknown women pioneers and
oh,
stuff
yeah,
like that,
cool.
that oh. I've actually purchased for some friends that were having baby girls.
Nice.
And I was like, here's yeah. your power.
Very sweet.
You know,
Mighty Girl featured it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Mighty Girl.
A Mighty Girl did as one of their adult books of 2017. Or
wow.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. That was cool.
You've got a lot of cool shit happening.
Yeah. I love A Mighty Girl. It's a great site for, awesome. For a young girl. So, yeah.
Awesome. So, I don't know. I
feel my year of campaigning to get Hannah on the podcast has been fulfilled.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time. Coming over. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we have Mike. We will travel.
Yeah. That's... We could be on location anywhere.
Oh, we're going to be on location for the next one, too. It's going to be great.
Oh, we're going on location for the next one?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, we can also plug our new Facebook page.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. I already liked it.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Bridget's
we've been
dying to do.
I legit posted that as we were walking out of the stairs to come here
awesome.
From her house. I had a proposal. I sat down with her for a half hour. I had examples and stuff. And I was like, I'm not
Sales
trying.
Pitch.
I'm there like, yeah. Because I've asked her before and she's like, no, that's what GMG is all about anyway. I'm like, but we need more interaction. Come on.
Yeah.
I wanted to promote Hannah ahead of time. Like, I want to do so many things because when Hannah's new book comes out, like, boom, here's the old podcast from a year ago. Listen to this. Get the new book. Awesome.
And now our secret listeners won't be so secret once they start liking the Facebook page. Yeah. So. And this is episode 76.
This is episode 76.
Congratulations.
I want to hit 100 this year, so we're going to have to do that. So
Bridget is working real hard on that wish list, man. Yeah, I'm working real hard. I'm hustling for you. You know?
We'll get there. We'll do it this year. Absolutely. There's no reason that we
No, shouldn't. We got tons of people that we know. We know tons of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what the Facebook page is, Alicia Unleashed. And especially if you want to have any suggestions of anybody that you think that we should have on, anybody that has a cool career, anybody
as long as their Facebook is semi kind of open to the public, or at least I can hack into it to find out a little bit about you, I'm good. there was Alicia.
Yep.
I knew nothing about. I'm like,
everything was locked up
private. I got nothing.
Everything that I have personal is locked up private, and the only thing that is not is my Twitter, and which has Alicia Unleashed on GMG, the website, and everything like that. So, Twitter's my only open. So this would give another avenue, which I'm sure, you know, Joey will have. No qualms about. So,
and mainly the reason promoting. Why I wanted Hannah as a guest is because I don't know anyone that's ever written a book before. So I'm curious how that process even works. Like from the minute you were like, I want to write a book, and you talk to an agent to game time. So the whole, how do you even get that started? Like for me, I'm a scatterbrain, although I have, what is it called? Organized chaos. But it's just like, I wouldn't even know where to begin to be like, I want to do this. And let's keep going.
Yeah.
How do I get there? Let's go. Like right. that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know? And also another thing I also told Hannah before while you were on the phone was, you know, there's a lot of amazing people in KFAN doing a lot of amazing things. We're just like this hidden gem.
Yeah, we're just we're not even hitting the tip of the iceberg. We're hitting just our friend circle. Just our friend circle, and we've been able to fill up
76 episodes.
Yeah, literally, like 50
poets and
50 plus episodes. We're just gathering everybody that we've had on. Really in Gloucester, we've had a couple of people that, you know, have gone national, and you've obviously gone national. So, we've met designers,
artists, graphic artists, graffiti artists.
Cool. I love it.
Now we have an author.
Yeah. Now we're working on a musician, you know, that's my next campaign.
Yeah.
Before the worm season comes and he's outside.
You girls are amazing. So. Oh,
thanks, Anna.
Well, keep on keeping on. So, all right. So, this is episode 76 with
Miss Hannah, Frida, and Ruby.
Yes, absolutely. And Alicia Unleashed. Out.
Peace.
Bye. Woo.